So the song of Ruth is often sung at weddings, right? Because it's a song of faithfulness and a song of commitment. But you can see it's not a song that Ruth sang to her husband. It's a song of promise. It's a covenant she offered to her mother-in-law. And sadly, mothers-in-law get kind of a bad rap. So it's taken a bit out of context when we sing it at weddings. But what's even more significant here, and really more to the point, what really calls to us even more forcefully to push this song of Ruth beyond the confines of "I now pronounce you" is this truly unique character of this conversation. The singularity of this entire dialogue between Ruth and Naomi and Orpah as well. In all of Scripture, in this whole big book, in all of Scripture, this is the only dialogue between two women that does not concern a man. Let's go, girls. It does not concern a father. It does not concern a husband. It does not concern a son. The concern of this dialogue is each other's welfare. In all of Scripture, this is the only such dialogue. Now, I'm here to tell you that women in ancient Israel had a whole lot of conversations like this. It's something Black feminist scholar Bell Hooks calls kitchen table talk. It's when women get together and talk and plan and empower and support one another. But Scripture, and yeah, a lot of history, composed mostly by men, wasn't there when these kitchen table talks were happening. So they did not get recorded in the Bible. But somehow or other, this story of Ruth and Naomi and Orpah made it. We have an entire book here where women are the main characters and the men are only secondary. Even Naomi's husband, Elimelech, gets identified as Naomi's husband. That doesn't happen. Sarah is Abraham's wife. Rebecca is Jacob's wife. It's never the other way around. Women are always named as someone's wife, but not here. Orpah and Ruth are told by Naomi to go to their mother's houses. Again, we have to remember, this was a patriarchal society. This was a society where men held the power and were the center of power. Unmarried women would return to their father's homes, not their mother's houses. God only knows how this book made it into Scripture. Truly. There is much to this story that should grab our attention, men and women. And there is much that should spark our curiosity. There is much more to this story than the simple and profound Song of Ruth. What do these women have to tell us about trust? about promises. And with the names of all these saints resting on our table here, we might add, what do these women have to tell us about saintly activity? Naomi and her family were refugees. They left Bethlehem, whose name means city of bread. They left Bethlehem for a foreign land in search of food. They were probably not the only family fleeing the famine that had hit Bethlehem and probably more of Judah. Like the Irish fleeing the potato famine in the 19th century, like the Okies fleeing the Dust Bowl of the 1930s, like Syrians, Sudanese, Rohingya, Afghans, Central Americans, Mexicans. Naomi, Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion were fleeing natural disaster. They were fleeing a social crisis. They were in search of refuge, shelter, a safe haven. Now, they were risking much to leave their family and their community to come to Moab. Because not only was Moab a foreign land with foreign gods, it was also forbidden by Jewish law to do anything, to have anything to do with Moabites. The Moabites were the descendants of the incestuous relationship between Lot and his daughters. We all remember Lot escaped Gomorrah. So faithful Jews were forbidden to covenant with them or have anything to do with Moabites. So this story starts with famine, and then it continues with barrenness because Naomi's husband dies. This was a potentially catastrophic loss for women in Naomi's day. Now, fortunately, Naomi had sons to care for her. And these sons ultimately marry Moabite women. Ding, 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 another infraction of Torah. Because Israelites were not to marry foreigners. And then comes the final blow to Naomi's household. Her sons die. Both of them. Childless. Naomi's household goes from famine to barrenness. And now this household that once consisted of a woman and her three men has now become three childless widows. And none of them were blood relatives. In a society where fathers, husbands, and sons provided family security, this household's prospects of survival have declined dangerously. There's not a lot of hope for Naomi and Orpah and Ruth. Naomi is now caught between a rock and a hard place. Should she continue living as a refugee in a foreign land? Or should she return to her hometown alone with no one to provide for her, no one to protect her, and after her family had violated Torah? Famine drove her away from her homeland. Death compels her to return. She is between a rock and a hard place. The three widowed women set out together. Naomi pauses to urge them to return to their mothers. And after much protest and shedding of tears, Orpah relents and returns to the home of her mother. And Ruth, on the other hand, does something very bold and unusual. She covenants with her mother-in-law. The words we heard her say at the end of her promise are the actual language of covenant that all Jews used. This is how they promise to be with one another through death. May the Lord do this to me, and more so if even death separates me from you. These are the words of covenant that she used. There was no reason for her to do this. She had no legal or moral obligation to so faithfully follow her mother-in-law. She had every right to do as her sister-in-law did and return to her own mom. But she goes beyond the requirements of law and good manners. She is surely aware of the antagonism between the Israelites and her own people. She's not going to be welcomed in Bethlehem either. Yet, she joins Naomi. Ruth risks starvation and rejection to accompany widowed Naomi, who was destined to live the life of one ostracized from her community. Clearly, something transpired between these two women. There's a gap in this story here somewhere. As they spent time together, grinding meal for bread, weaving fabric for clothing and tents, obviously, there must have been some stories shared between them. Stories about struggles that were overcome. Stories about Yahweh and Yahweh's faithfulness to the Israelites. Somehow or other, Yahweh's faithful promise, trust in Yahweh's faithful promise, was cultivated in Ruth and strengthened in Naomi. Somehow or other, together, they knew they could trust Yahweh in this return to Bethlehem. We cannot help these days. We cannot help but see similarities between the stories of Naomi and Ruth and the stories of famine and refugees in our own time. As 13 million people in Yemen face starvation as a result of war-induced famine, as nations, ours included, cannot or will not develop humane immigration policies, as we who follow Jesus grapple with loving our neighbors and welcoming the stranger as he instructed us to do, we cannot help but turn to Naomi and Ruth, each of them refugees, aliens in a foreign land. We cannot help but hear their story and be changed by the care and the loving kindness that they share with one another, even as their lives are at risk. We cannot help but hear their stories individually and as a church community. We cannot help but hear these stories and ask ourselves, what is the story of trust we share with the world? Do we trust Yahweh enough to love our neighbors as ourselves? Do we trust Jesus enough to cross boundaries of love and compassion with him as he did? What is the story of trust we share with the world? This story of Ruth and Naomi is opening the door for us to prayerfully consider the way our lives reveal to our neighbors the trust that we hold in God's promises. The trust that we hold in Jesus' promise to be with us as we cross boundaries to share the good news of welcome and hospitality. I invite you this week to spend some time with this story of Ruth. It's not real long. Read this short book in your Bibles. Consider what her story of trust has to say to you and your household. And then come back next week for part two. Amen.